listening to the Do Shit, Get Shit Done podcast with Lee Bridges, your regular accountability buddy and kick up the butt. So get ready to get shit done.
Wiki, 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 wiki. Welcome to episode 25 of the Do Shit, Get Shit Done podcast. Mother flipper, my name is Lee Bridges. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Sorry about that. I hope you're very well. I genuinely do. I hope you guys are wonderful. I really appreciate you turning up all the time as well on episode 25, like I just said, and it makes me very, 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 very happy. So thank you. Appreciate it. Today we're going to talk about burst training. This is a goldmine life hack of mine, and I'm going to give it away to you for free. Anyway, this amazing life hack is literally the fastest and most efficient way of learning anything physical, and you can totally apply these techniques to mental things too. This is dynamite if you want to absolutely boss a skill and get shit hot as fast as possible. A bold statement, I know, but you will see the proof within 1 week and in some cases within 1 day. Before I explain how to burst, however, I need to tell you how I came about the idea. As you probably know, I'm a musician, a drummer by trade, so sort of musician. I started playing the drums at the age of 14 because I was fat and had no self-esteem. And what better way to stop people noticing you and go under the radar than playing what most people consider to be the loudest and stupidest instrument ever? Yeah? Anyway, different story for another time, I guess. But fast forward a bunch of years, and I'm at university studying drums. I was so serious about my music career, and we had this absolute legend of a guest tutor for one of the sessions. He ended up changing my perceptions around completely. I was asking if he had some words of wisdom to impart after a lesson one day, and he ended up telling me that I wasn't practicing enough, that I simply didn't spend enough time practicing. My classic response was the good old, "But I don't have any more time in the day," and he suggested that I should get up earlier. Mind blown. Uni kid that wanted to party. Derp. He made me realise that if I wanted to be the best, then I'd have to put in the effort for real. So long story short, I went home and I practised more and harder than ever before. More often. More. Too much, it turned out, though. Here's the thing. Doing something over and over and over without a break doesn't automatically make you the best. Deal is that this is true of pretty much everything. You get out what you put in, for sure, but doing anything too repetitively will eventually cause a problem. Usain Bolt does not train for his sprints by sprinting for 8 hours a day. Surgeons don't train for heart surgery by holding a scalpel in their hands for 8 hours a day. And world record eaters don't train for competitions by eating hot dogs for 8 hours a day. Like I said before, if you want bigger biceps, doing 8 hours of biceps curl a day every day will just end up giving you serious issues. And a plethora of reasons. For a plethora of reasons. Fatigue, injury, boredom, arms exploding, whatever. All right, back to my story. So, I'm practicing long hours, which I did for years. I had to force myself to do it every day, and often I would get a few minutes in and my brain would just drift off and I'd just hit autopilot for the following 2 to 3 hours. Now, don't get me wrong, all that practicing really tightened up my game. My drumming got better and faster and stronger, and in turn, I felt more confident as a drummer. This was all well and good until I started to notice problems with my wrists and arms. By the end of the 3rd year, I had a mixture of tendonitis, carpal tunnel, repetitive strain injury, and general aches and pains, and I promised that that was from drumming and nothing else. Here. It got so bad that I had to stop playing for months, and every time I picked up anything in that period, it immediately hurt, and then it played on my mind. If you have ever had to stop doing something you love because of injury, then you know exactly how I felt. It crushes you, like completely. I was not only depressed all the time, but I also went from specialist to try and get it sorted. And on top of that, I had to cancel gigs with different artists I was working with, which not only makes you feel like crap because you wanted to do the gigs, but loses you future work because some other mother flipper just jumps in your grave and takes your work. I spent all of my money, and I mean all of my money, on different treatments, and I wasn't bringing in much at the time because I was missing all the gigs. Chicken egg, innit? I tried everything. From physio and chiropractic, acupuncture and meditation, to considering chopping off my own hand with a machete I bought from a market stall in Colchester when I was a kid. I tried it all. Even worse than the constant pain, though, was what it did to my mind. I would wake up in the night having anxiety dreams and spend most of the day thinking about it because everything reminded me of it. The mental detriment far surpassed the actual physical pain. So, after all my treatments and a few years of feeling down and done in, I went back to my local GP. My usual doctor wasn't there, so I saw his replacement, this 60-70-year-old looking guy with a big bushy beard, wise eyes. Nice guy. I explained the situation and he took a pause. looked me dead in the eyes and said, "Jesus, grow up. So your hands hurt. What did you expect? You hit things for a living with wooden sticks. Of course you're going to do yourself a damage. The best advice I can give you is to get it all out of your head and play through it with the understanding that one day it will stop you completely playing. But do not waste your time now worrying about it when you could be doing something you love." I left the surgery that day kind of deflated and a bit pissed off that his advice was such, but I was desperate, so I took heed. After a few days, the problems started to become bearable. In hindsight, a lot of the issue was manifested in my own mind. I started playing again, and I'm still playing. One valuable lesson here is that the mind is stronger than anything else. And I mean anything else. You just have to read some real life tales of people that have been right through it and come out the other side to prove that point. The main reason I suffered RSI was the amount of time that I was sat at my kit just going through the motions. I got repetitive strain injury from repetitively straining. Duh. Problem is, working hard and working smart couldn't be more different. One question that I always get asked, and this one kills me because I know how it feels, is when people say, "I'm working so hard and I'm trying to reach my goals, but nothing's happening." And I know this firsthand from so many ventures. I'm sure that you can relate. This one is the hardest, as you really can put your all into something and get nothing out of it, and in some cases get detrimental results, just like I did with my wrists. I worked my slightly larger than average size penis off on my drums for years, and it resulted in me not being able to play them. Crazy. That tutor wasn't wrong though. I did need to take my profession much more seriously, and he completely opened to my eyes to what amount of effort is needed to succeed. But the necessary effort has to be thought out, clever, and smart. It needs to work for us as much as we have to work for it. I now know that he didn't mean just play incessantly every day doing the same shit. He meant spend time practicing networking, listening to music, doing music history, getting my business right, not going to sleep at 6 a.m, etc, etc. After this whole experience, I realised that I didn't have to put myself in the hospital to get the results I wanted. Well, at least I figured there must be a way. And just so you know, there is always a way. I put pen to paper and tried to come up with a way to get the results I wanted without doing myself a little damage. The realisation that I ended up with was much bigger than I ever thought possible. My intention was to come up with a way of getting better at drums without hurting my hands. But what I worked out is something that I now use every day, numerous times, to get really good at whatever I want to get really good at. And I call it burst training. So now you know why I wanted to come up with this. I now need to teach you how. Like I previously mentioned, I was always fat when I was a kid, but when I got to about 18, I finally decided to take control of my body and I started slamming the gym. I changed my diet, I stopped smoking weed all the time, and I dropped from 20 stone to 12. I finally started feeling good. I lost the weight before I started uni and was now on this regimented gym schedule 5 to 7 days a week. Felt so good, man. When I moved to Brighton though, I started enjoying the uni life, staying up late and drinking and eating badly. I didn't put it all back on again, but I was aware that I was being unhealthy. Everyone else seemed to be doing the same thing though, so I didn't really feel bad about it. But remember, just because everyone else does, definitely does not mean you should. Sheep always follow the herd. Anyway, fast forward some years and I started seeing my now wife. And within the first year, I'd done the classic and got uncomfortable and fat. Well, no, not uncomfortable. Sorry, bubby. I didn't get uncomfortable with you. I got comfortable with you and I got really fat. And so did you. We were like two little jiggly puffs. FYI, being fat and eating unhealthy makes you feel like shit whether you think it does or not. And it slows your progress right down. Again, whether you think it does or not. There is so much proven research on this, so stop kidding yourself. After I proposed to her, I found myself joining a gym again. It wasn't the same as when I was 18, when my only responsibilities were go to a job I didn't care about and then go home, still living with my parents. Now I had a job course leading at a college, a music career, a stepson, a fiance, and a more demanding friendship group. I had less time, like much less time. When I went to the gym when I was 18, I went every day after work and spent 45 minutes doing cardio, and then three times a week I'd do an hour of resistance training afterwards or before. When I started the gym the second time, I had all these extra responsibilities. Even if I woke up earlier, I still didn't have time to do that 45 minutes cardio every day and then an hour's worth of weights. It just couldn't happen with my then schedule. At the same time, I had very specific goals, and unfortunately, gym time was not at the top of my priority list, even though exercise always should be. So here's what I did. I read up on different types of gym training, and this thing called HIIT kept coming up. I'm sure you've heard of it, but for those that haven't, let me explain. HIIT, H-I-I-T, stands for High Intensity Interval Training. In short, it means working at your optimum for short amounts of time with small breaks in between. This makes your heart rate go from 0 to 60 and then back to 0 in no time at all, and causes you to burn more calories in less time. And as a double bonus, you keep burning calories throughout the day afterwards. The first time I heard this, I was blown sideways. OMG, I can do 45-minute cardio sessions in 10 minutes and get similar results. I know what you're thinking. That sounds too good to be true. It's not. It's completely true. But I won't lie, it is friggin' hard work, man. Like, one of the hardest. To this day, I stand by the fact that I would much rather do a 45-minute kind of pushing it cardio session than 10 minutes of 100% effort HIIT training or AMRAP or EMOM or Tabata or Metcon or whatever. Back to my story of how I came up with the burst life hack. I had seen a drum idol of mine do a really awesome trick, and I wanted to learn how to do it myself. About a month later, one day I was all of a sudden able to do it. What? How? Racking my brain as to how this had happened, I realised that every time I sat down at my drums that past month, I'd been attempting it for a short little burst of time, like 20 or 30 seconds or something. Every time there was a break or some downtime or I was waiting for someone to tune up or whatever. After a month, these bursts had amounted to a few hours of practice. Now, the important thing here is that they were regular and often. In that month, I must have accidentally practiced this technique hundreds of times, and now I could do it. Granted, it was rough around the edges, but I could do it. This was without any structure or general awareness of what I was doing. Think of it in the same way as brushing your teeth, or some mundane task like that. You do it for little amounts of time each day, but over the years, you get so good at it that without even noticing, you are like the grandmaster of picking up the brush, applying the toothpaste, running the tap, and scrubbing your teeth. You didn't mean to get good at it, but through regular short bursts, you turned into a boss tooth of brushing assassin. Now, imagine the power of this if you focused, and instead of brushing your teeth, we were talking about something that you're actually passionate about. So here's how you do it. Oh, but before I give you the steps, I should explain that if you want to get the most out of this, it has to be aggressive, and you have to take advantage of the little gaps of time in your life that you aren't currently utilizing. So choose a thing. This could be anything. The power of burst practice applies to absolutely anything and allows for easy progress tracking. Be aware of the fact that you're learning one specific thing. Try not to convolute ideas. Do one new skill at a time and do it until it's done. It's kind of like riding a bike. Once you've learned it, it won't get forgotten, as long as you've done it to the point of muscle memory and understanding. You can learn to bunny hop after you learn to ride. It would be dumb to try and learn both at the same time. Make sure you can do one thing correctly before stacking something on top of it. You don't want a sketchy foundation Lego brick built on now, do you? For those of you that are thinking, but I remember you said stack stuff up and practice more than one thing at once in a previous episode. Well, firstly, great retention skills. And secondly, I did say that, and I still mean it, but for that specific purpose that I said it. I can talk. In this instance, we are going to focus hard on one thing, and you can stack stuff after. We spoke about this in the Know Thyself chapter of the book. Sometimes you need this, and sometimes you need that. As a side note, this is why I take little bits from every religion and not just one. Pick your battles, man. Some shit works for some shit and doesn't work well for other shit. So do not be closed off to new ideas and ways of thinking. Assess and adapt constantly. So here it goes. Step one. Practice the skill as slow as physically possible. Just to put a point on this, whatever you think is slow is more than likely way too fast. As humans, especially nowadays, we cut corners, and cutting corners is not hacking, it's cutting corners. It's not getting the job done properly, and the cracks will always show at some point. Burst practice only works if you spend the initial amount of time needed to make sure the skill you're learning is as near to perfect as possible. When it is, then we can speed it up. To make sure that this is the slickest, most efficient that it can be, film your very first attempt and film the next day and following days until it's as close to perfect as possible. Ask a friend if you need to be sure. For example, if I wanted to learn how to do a new dance or something like that, I would do it slowly, like super slowly the first few times. Slow breeds an understanding, and I can't stress this enough. If you can't do something well slowly, you definitely won't be able to do it well fast. I'm going to say this one more time, as it usually takes a few times to go in. Us humans like to do stuff faster than we think. So what you think is slow is more than likely not slow. Check yourself and make sure it is like slow. Remember, doing something fast and sloppy is not good. We don't need that. You need control for this, and you need to have to commit to getting it right so that then we can speed it up. And then it'll be all pucker and lovely. A more important point to make here is that there is a speed where even the most novice of people can do anything. Look at it like this. Imagine if I said that you needed to learn one of Mozart's symphonies in a month. Initially, your thought process, unless you're an accomplished classical pianist, would be not possible. However, you missed an important question to rebuttal. How fast do I have to play it? Fact is, if you could learn it one note at a time, with a minute in between each note, and you had a tutorial video on YouTube that you could play and pause at your will, then immediately the task goes from impossible to totally possible. Now consider that there was no time limit, and you could play through the piece still with 1 minute in between each note. Then each time you played it, you decreased the time between each note, the time. First 55 seconds, then 50, then 45, and then right down to 1 second. And now, my darling, it sounds like a perfect piece of Mozart music. And your muscle memory is so ingrained that you don't even need to look at the sheet. In this instance, slow is the new fast. It gets you there quicker. And when you get there, it's not just better, it is so much more closer to perfect than previously possible. This is step one, and it is integral that you don't get big dick stink syndrome and start running before you can walk. Do not screw this step up. Sacrifice today so you don't have to compromise tomorrow. Take time on this and get it right. Do not advance before you have done this step. If you're thinking, well, this won't work, I don't want to waste my time bothering, then it's just another trust me time. You will not regret this. I guarantee you 100% that if you do this correctly, then you will save so much time in the long run. How can I be so sure? Well, when I started implementing this at college with my students, and I had 5 previous years of teaching to compare this to, the students that committed to burst practice not only advanced up to 80% quicker than their peers, but they also developed a much more coherent understanding of their chosen skill or technique. And more so, they could execute that skill 10x better than their peers that didn't commit to burst training. So, do this step right. Cool? All right, to step two. Step two. As soon as you have your new skill down super slow, you're going to practice it in bursts. We're going to start with 5 minutes, an amount of time that any of you can free up. You're going to burst in 30-second increments, with the first 10 seconds being as slow as you possibly can do, just like we practiced in step one, with the remaining 20 seconds going from 0 to 100%, and with the last 3 to 5 seconds being almost impossible to keep up with. Then you repeat this process until that 5 minutes is up. That's it. There's only 2 steps. Now, for those of you thinking that your chosen skill won't work with bursts, for instance, things that aren't sport or training orientated, like asking someone on a date or something like that, then you're kind of right. However, the mini skills that you need to ask someone on a date are entirely burstable. But for things that you don't need to do at light speed, then you can just cut out step two and practice super slow. Learning lines, shaking hands, walking into a room with a smile on, or skills like this will all progress phenomenally if you practice them super slow. Let me know what you're bursting. Add videos of your first attempts and where you're at now. Share, 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 you wonderful human. Thanks for listening. I do really, really super appreciate it. Please, feedback as always, hit me up. Remember to share, review, and subscribe. And always, and I mean seriously, always. Got it? Okay, good. That was a really important one. You can grab a copy of the book, Do Shit, Get Shit Done from Scamazon, and you can join the mailing list at leebridges.co.uk, where I send out regular helpful treats. Have a wonderful day, darling.
You've been listening to the Do Shit, Get Shit Done podcast with Lee Bridges. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and review. And we also have a mailing list that offers regular life hacks and super helpful content. You can join it at leebridges.co.uk. See you next time.